There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple things before we get into the main meat of the hour and I hear from you. The MPD Town Hall going on. This is this evening at Murphy, at M-U-R-F-F-Y. Murphy, Murphy, Murphy High. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Town Hall with MPD. I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Also, a update here. This is just, I mean, this is heartbreaking stuff. I mean, because we're now 9 days, going to be 10 days after the kidnapping of Camille McKinney. The search continues. I think the reward is up to $33,000 or something. And I want to ask a side question, seriously. And I understand the ramifications, because if you do for one, then do you motivate people I hate to even talk about this, to like have their own child disappear to try to get money? But for a child, what would a parent give everything to find that child, right? What do we have, 4 million people in the state of Alabama or something? Would we all give a, you know, and when does it stop? I know. But in this individual case, if we got 4 million people in the state, everybody would everybody in Alabama give a buck? Some people give more, some people who couldn't, you know, make that the reward for the finding this child. If that would, if it would hit a certain amount of money where somebody would break who knows something in the search for this little girl, or just, I don't know. You said it was at 5,000, then it was like a 10,000, 25,000, I think it's 33,000. It should be 300,000. I don't know if it gets to a... And then you got to ask a question, if it was a certain amount of money, you know, if the person wouldn't rat out somebody for doing this for $30,000, but if you made it $300,000, and then all of a sudden their conscience woke up. I don't know. I don't know. It's really, this story is troubling, and this is, she's just one of many children that, unfortunately, in this country, this has happened to. But it's, this one's at home. This is in Alabama, and I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do, but it makes my heart heavy on that, for sure. And by the way, too, in just a note I had made to myself earlier, anybody out there that works in the world of, and I know, hey, there, I know a couple people that are in the convenience store and gas station business and all this. Can y'all help me with something? Y'all help me, just a question. The amount of technology we have, right, that we have at our disposal in this country. I ain't even talking about the gadgets and the fun stuff. What gives us the ability to land a rover on Mars, okay? With that kind of technology. Can we not, if I prepay, so if I prepay a certain amount of gasoline, I walk in, I got some cash dollars, I'm not using a card, could have used cash, and I say, give me whatever it is, give me 30 on pump four, right? Y'all know what I'm getting to here. Somewhere around $39.40, all of a sudden, it's digital, mind you, too. It's not analog. It's not the old spinning numbers that you might have to slow down so you don't blow a gasket somewhere in there, lose the internal gas pump transmission. No, this is digital. At about, like 30 cents out from 40 bucks, what does it do? It starts, couldn't that happen at 5 cents out? I'm asking this, not just a rhetorical question. Maybe somebody's in the business. Is there some reason that the pump has to slow down? And I know it's not gauged on the pennies. It's gauged on the gallons of fuel. But in the equivalency, although that would be a good thing to look at, is depending on gas prices, how far out does the pump start to slow down before it gets to your prepaid amount? Couldn't it just run up pretty close to it and just stop? And just stop. It's prepaid. It already knows the formula of where it's going to go. The math or the gallons shouldn't be an issue. Computer knows it, right? You've punched up inside on the keypad there. Couldn't you, I mean, would it be too much for it to get maybe 7 cents, 5 cents out? 5 cents out, have it just start slowing down? Just a wonder I have. Okay. All right, so some of the troubling questions. Dalton has an answer. Do you have an answer to this, or are you just coming in to round me up some more?
I don't have an answer, but I love talking about fuel.
Do you know what I'm talking about when you prepay?
Oh, yeah.
I am making sense here that when you prepay, and all of a sudden it's some number of gallons or tenths of gallons or pennies on the, whatever it is, all of a sudden the pump slows down, and then you sit there for another like 35 seconds waiting for it to pump the last tenth of a gallon.
It's like the end of the Price is Right ticker when they spin that and it just tick, 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 tick. That's what that's like. Also, when they're running low on gas, like if we have a storm coming through or, you know, right. And the station you're at happens to be running low on gas, it's like that, except the entire time you're filling up. But what about when you don't prepay?
Okay.
And you just put the card in, so you're gonna get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Do you always top off at the end? Do you let it click and then wait a few seconds and then finish it off there to make sure you get all the gas?
Oh, you're talking about once it has stopped?
Yes.
Well, absolutely.
You have to, right?
But so we had this discussion before. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine that'd probably be listening right now, he might be, that we grew up together. He worked at a gas station. You'll know the gas station at the corner of Ann and Government a long time when he was a young man. And he went and he was working in the gas station. And we talked about that, how much gas over a lifetime you could get if you waited for it to click off and then got what was left in the handle.
Yes.
I think it's got to be, I think my number said you'll get 100 gallons over a lifetime. That's probably too much. But
and they always have the rules in there to say don't top off, which I always conveniently ignore that law.
Right, because you're living on the edge.
Yeah,
right?
That's one law that I definitely break. Yeah. But when you're filling it up and it clicks off, and you know you normally top it off after that, but it stopped right on a dollar amount, like $35 or $30.
Oh, you're talking
then
about...
Then you avoid the topping off.
Absolutely.
Because how rare is it that you end up right on a dollar amount or right on a fuel amount, like say exactly 15 gallons?
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that kind of good mojo.
It means you're going to have good luck that day.
Big time good luck. It's like when you buy whatever it is, you go in the convenience store and you get your Diet Coke and your cashews and whatever else, and it ends up being like it's $7, right? And it's exactly, that's good luck at that point.
And then if you decide you need to buy something else, you'll just put it on a separate ticket.
Of course.
You just hit $7, exactly.
Of course. I wonder if more things, if you prepaid, would just slow down beforehand before delivering the full thing. Like you go online app or something and pay for food ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And as they started, they would haul butt get into your house in the car. But once they got to your neighborhood,
they crawl.
They start going like 3 miles an hour. They walk up to your front door as slowly as possible. All right, 150.
That's when you pre-tip.
That's right. Good point. 115. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, somebody suggesting that prepaid cell does the same thing. Yeah, prepaid cell data slows down for sure. Does it slow down like you just get like run up right to the end of your data and then like the last whatever, however many, I don't know, what do you get on those? Do you get a certain number of gigabits or whatever you get? Does it start slowing down? Like the same way. If you are just joining the conversation, by the way, hi, it's Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5. My name's Sean. I was having a an issue with the, you know, when you prepaying, it just, this has come to mind before, but it just happened the other day. Walked in, you know, I was living large. I had two Andrew Jacksons, burned a hole in my pocket. So walked in and got some overpriced stuff in the convenience store and then said, hey, I'm a big spender. Let's drop 30 bones right here into the Tacoma tank. And so I prepaid. And, you know, it's running, it's filling up. It's, you know, usually you do it with the card, so it's just whatever it is. But I was doing it in cash, and it rolls, and all of a sudden, it slows down right at the end. And I just think with all the technology out there, shouldn't we be able to get closer to the amount? Like, shouldn't, instead of it $29.50, can it run to $29.90 before it slows down? I don't know. There's got to be somebody in that business that can tell me. Is technology just not there? Are y'all trying to see if I stand around there a little bit longer, I'll decide I need to get one of those extra large jalapeno Slim Jims or something like that while I'm there? All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Note here, the South Baldwin chapter of the Common Sense Campaign is having a congressional forum for District 1 candidates. That's going on next week on, that's tomorrow night. Wednesday, October 23rd, 6 o'clock at the Foley City Council Chamber Room, 407 East Laurel Avenue in Foley, Alabama, where they pull over the Krispy... No, that was Loxley, where they pulled over the Krispy Kreme truck. This is going to be in Foley tomorrow night, South Baldwin chapter of the Common Sense Campaign, Congressional Forum for District 1 candidates tomorrow night. By the way, which is a good transition into talking about some West Side stuff, so we got this confirmed. This is going to be November 21st. All right, so November 21st in Chickasaw at the J.C. Davis Auditorium, the AL1 Republican primary congressional debate. We're going to not only have y'all come out, hopefully, and be there in person, but we'll air that debate on FM Talk 106.5. And also, soon to come, some other partners will announce here in this. You'll be able to see it and hear it, but we are putting this on FM Talk 106.5. And the Mobile Republican Party are putting on, the Mobile County Republican Party, putting on this AL1 political, is primary, right? A primary, Republican primary debate. And that, once again, will start, the broadcast will start at 6. It'll go to 8 that Thursday evening, November 21st. And it's a good venue there, the J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw. More details on the way, but mark that in the calendar. Yeah, you've got the calendar feature on the smartphone. Just put it in there. Love to see you out there in person. If not, you'll be able to hear it right here at FM Talk 106.5 and probably get to look at it elsewhere. All right, phone calls. And we got some texts, but I want to go to the phones first. Phones always first. And Terry is in Satsuma and wants to talk gas pump slowdown. Terry, do you have some info for me?
Well, yeah. If you slam that pump off on that gas pump, you got to slow down real slow. You're going to bust gasket up on that line, and you're going to have gas everywhere. That's the reason they slow the pump down. It's according to what size pump you got, according to how much slow down.
Okay, but if I'm... Okay, so let's say I'm just holding it, and all of a sudden, just for some reason, I decide that, well, you know, if it fills up, right, and it turns itself off, or if I let go of the handle, it turns itself off, it's a shocking, abrupt stop to the gasoline flow at that point, right? If I, like, once it hits full, you put it in there, you put the little, those people that still have the little flippy-do, I know that's a technical term, the flippy-do that holds the handle up, and that's running wide open, it fills the tank up, it goes cha-ting, it's off. Didn't that, like, bring an abrupt stop to the pump?
Well, you're going to have your pump is going to have a delay on that system. And you're going to have gaskets in it. And if you just slam the gas pump off like that, you're going to create a hammer, call it. It's like shutting your water hose off fast.
So it is. So they do that to preserve the pump?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
They will blow a gasket, and they will cause a leak.
I wonder how far out they have to set, like, does it have to slow down a half gallon out, a quarter gallon out?
It's just according to how much pressure that pump got, different pumps, different pressure, and you just gotta wait to see which one's got the pressure and how much it is. It's, all pumps are different according to which one it is.
Terry, you just educate a lot of folks, man. Thank you.
All right. Well, I worked at the chemical plant for a long time, and I dealt with a lot of pumps, and we had to deal with that a lot.
Oh, even where you were working, it would start slowing down before it got to the amount you needed?
Right.
But that, I guess if you're on the clock, it's okay. Like, I wouldn't mind that if I was pumping gas on the clock and it slowed down. I could take it. All right. Terry, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Leaves a line open at 343-0106. Maybe I got that question answered. Maybe that's the reasoning behind it, is to protect the pump out there. All right. I do want to, let's see. Where's the darn story here? We didn't finish up. I want to get to the school bus recall here in just a second. But a little more on this. Because it's trending on Twitter. It's Tulsi versus Hillary. And the idea is that Hillary Clinton is saying what she's saying about Tulsi Gabbard because she's trying to edge out a spot for herself to get into the Democrat primary. She's coming back. The story from the American Mirror says Hillary leaves door open to 2020 run, saying we have to nominate the best candidate. Okay, so at Hillary Clinton's latest campaign stop in Oregon, the former First Lady again refused to endorse any of the current Democrats running in the 2020 presidential primary, but she did highlight her experience with impeachment and essentially described herself as the ideal candidate to take on Trump in 2020. Once again, I asked this question earlier, really, and this is not baloney, y'all know me, the differing opinions, prodigal sons and daughters, you go to the line first, front of the line. If you're a Democrat and you could wave this wand and have Hillary Clinton erase from our imagination of the country, would you choose to do that? You're ruler of all things political in the United States, and you have the magic wand, you wave it around, and it's gone. There's no thought of Hillary. Would you do it? No, I'm not talking about no physical harm or anything. I'm talking about just the political memory. Would you do it? Because it goes on here. It says, Clinton and daughter Chelsea were at Portland's Revolution Hall on Saturday to promote their new book about gutsy women when a moderator, local author, Cheryl Strayed, brought up 2020. And Clinton told Strayed, all that matters is that we win. I hate to be so, you know, simplistic about it. We have to nominate, and then she coughed, the best. You, someone yelled from the audience, you, drew a big smile and a laugh from Clinton. She didn't disavow the idea. Clinton said, oh my, well, thank you. I just feel so strongly that, look, I just want to say a little bit more about this because what's going on right now with the impeachment inquiry is not a choice, it is an obligation under the Constitution, end quote. Remember saying that goes on to say the 71-year-old twice failed presidential candidate explained it's a big challenge to run a presidential campaign among the political chaos in Washington, D.C., and then laid out her experience in such a really complicated political environment. And so do I think she is launching the campaign with that? No, but there's enough here that she said that, and then she's like on the attack mode on Tulsi Gabbard. That you just wonder if she's trying to kick out a spot to get in there. And that question, of course Republicans would love Hillary Clinton to get in the mix. I mean, it would be, think about the debates now. Think about the debates with Hillary Clinton in there. But would you want her, if you're a Democrat, do you want her in? Do you want Hillary to take another bite at the apple? Or would you like Hillary, if you could, once again, you've got this, the magic wand, you could wave it. You're a Democrat, and I'm opening up line. Democrats come through. You could wave the magic wand and erase the hangover of the Clintons on the Democrats. I mean, y'all, the fundraising, we're going to get into a fundraising story for the Republicans here when we get back from the break, but you know the amount of money that's been raised by Republicans because of the Clintons? If you could have Hillary out of the mix, then there would be, the president wouldn't have anything to talk about. Remember, you got this wand, it's just gone. Would you do it? Try to get a fair response to that. All right, 343-0106, 343-0106. Dr. Bill says continued clear and cool for a couple days and rains back at the end of the week. We'll get more from his forecast coming up in just a second. Check in with Westwood One News next.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Let's do this. Dalton, we clear some phone lines here, and looking for now that we clear them. That's the annoying thing. So if you're holding, so the people that are holding, we won't. But we're going to open up some phone lines. How about that? We open up some phone lines, and then they fill right back up. Open up some phone lines because I'm looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. Let's see if anybody calls before they know what it is to win some lint out of no. How about a pair of tickets to check out the Marshall Tucker Band playing at the Greater Gulf State Fair? Yeah, there they go. Marshall Tucker Band. We've got a pair of tickets for caller number 6 at 343-0106. 343-0106. Good luck. We'll find out who won here in just a second. All right. Two stories. I've got two that I'm holding on to. I may bank these for later in the week, but I probably get to the... The next challenge for President Trump is one you have not heard of before. I don't think so. There's a witches. There are witches involved in this story. So we'll get to that. And also this guy that brews alcohol in his stomach. We'll get to that in a second. But I mentioned the fundraising story. And I think this is important coming off of just my rhetorical, not a non-rhetorical question here that I didn't think I got a fair answer to. I wanted to talk to a Democrat who would imagine they had the power to wave a wand, and the Clinton memory, political memory of the Clintons would be gone. And this all comes off this feud that's popping up between Tulsi Gabbard and Hillary Clinton. And do you think the legacy of the Clintons is a benefit now in 2019 to Democrats, or do you think it's baggage here? Okay, and in doing that, I mentioned, you know, the number of dollars that have been raised by Republicans and conservatives by using any email, letter, commercial that says "fight Hillary Clinton." You know, right? Raise this money to fight Hillary Clinton. That's a thing, right? That's a thing. Story out today. Speaking of the funding, and I don't know how many of these individual dollars were donated because somebody wanted to fight somebody who wasn't even in office, but Republicans have had a big haul here in third quarter in fundraising. They're calling the numbers historic here. The headline, President Trump's historic lead on 2020 fundraising is starting to rattle Democrats. This story from Washington Examiner, Tim Pierce penned it or typed it. Democrats are beginning to worry about President Trump's 2020 war chest, which is larger than any other sitting president in history at this point in the campaign. Now, when we do the superlatives, when something's bigger than ever before, we point out, too, that the value of a dollar and inflation and all those things happen. But yes, this is significant. This is very significant. I mean, these war chests are growing. It takes more. What was it? The political cycle before this last one, I think, was the first one that they said it would be a billion-dollar presidential election. And we've surpassed that now. He goes on to write, some strategists believe the eventual Democratic nominee will not be able to compete against the Trump campaign and the RNC's joint fundraising, which have combined to have $158 million on hand, according to Politico. Trump's reelection effort has raised about twice as much as former President Barack Obama's reelection campaign had at this point in the race. So this would have been towards the end of President Obama's first term, as he was campaigning for his second term. They have, President Trump has twice as much money at this point on hand than former President Barack Obama did. A quote here from Texas-based Democratic strategist Chris Lippincott said, the resources that Trump has will be put to work anywhere and everywhere he feels like he can scare up electoral votes. And Democrats will never catch up. It's just too much money. That's real trouble. I'm not here to curse the dark, but it's dark. End quote. The Trump campaign effort is currently outspending the lone Democratic PAC messaging against him at a 10-to-1 margin. Trump's 2020 coalition has spent roughly $23 million so far on advertising. Think about how far we are out from the general election. And already $23 billion in. The sooner Democrats settle for a nominee, the sooner the party can focus on beating Trump. The top-tier candidates in the Democratic Party are still in flux, however. Latest polling out. Okay, then goes through the polling. We know that stuff. Okay, here's some other numbers. I think this is interesting. So Elizabeth Warren, y'all, right? Elizabeth Warren's going to be the top of the right now. You know how many times this can change between... We all focus on what the flavor of the day is, but you know how many times that changes before you get to a general election. But right now, the top of the Democrat ticket is Elizabeth Warren, right? Senator Warren. Elizabeth Warren's campaign recently revealed it has $25.7 million cash on hand. But Biden, Sanders, and Buttigieg have not released their totals. Biden, however, has been fundraising off his campaign's lack of cash, and his cash burn rate is 30% higher than his top rivals. So he's having to spend more. I think it's an interesting turnaround for President Trump, who won with less. Remember what Jeb Bush had in the war chest? Remember the incredible amount of money Jeb Bush had behind him? And Donald Trump didn't win it on 10 bucks, but the candidate didn't spend anywhere near what his competitors did in that primary. But yeah, so the flip around now is that I think they've raised $300 million over the last year and a half, 2 years, and just, here you go, $158 million on hand right now. And in third quarter, they had big, big fundraising. So there you go. RNC is winning that, and that just goes back full circle here to the Hillary Clinton and the Clinton thing. With her having this fight with Tulsi Gabbard, if you're a Democrat, really don't masquerade, don't do some crossover voting. A Democrat, listen to the show. Do you think it's good or bad for the eventual nominee that you would like to see take on President Trump? Is it a good thing or a bad thing if Hillary Clinton does a little Halloween surprise or October surprise here and it gets in? All of a sudden gets in. Is kicking at Tulsi. You know, this is one of the theories out there. Is kicking at Tulsi Gabbard to try to make space for herself to get in the race. Is that a... If you're a Democrat, is that an exciting thing to you? Is that a good thing, you think? Or is that a bad thing? If you could say yes or no, you had a way to do that. You could say yes or no. Would you say yes or no for Hillary in the primary for the Democrats? All right, and we'll get to the guy who creates alcohol in his stomach in just a second. But while we're on a theme here, while we're on a roll here, got to make sure you know this: that this could be the undoing of President Trump. What Never Trump Republicans couldn't do, what Democrats couldn't do, whatever other groups out there have tried to undo President Trump couldn't do, maybe witches will be able to undo. Okay, so here's the headline. As Halloween approaches, thousands of witches will cast a binding spell on Donald Trump on October 25th. When is that? Today is the 22nd, right? Or this week? Why so early? All right, so it says, this is what's going on here. On October 25th at 11:59 p.m., thousands of witches will simultaneously conduct a ritual which is meant to bind, in quotes here, end quote, Donald Trump. Unlike a curse or a hex, oh, I love this when they get in detail and I learn something. Unlike a curse or a hex, a binding spell is not meant to cause harm. Rather, witches hope to prevent President Trump from doing harm to the United States by his actions, and so they actually believe that they are doing something very positive for the country. Okay? But a closer examination, But a closer examination of this binding ritual reveals some very disturbing details. Now, by the way, this does not. This comes from endoftheamericandream.com. This is not coming from a even semi-legitimate news source. But it is interesting. It goes on to say, the witches hope to prevent President Trump from doing harm. For example, those participating in the ritual are instructed to call on demons of infernal realms for helping binding Trump. So essentially, they're going to do whatever they do, making the spell here. They say, and how do they get, I don't know where they get their numbers from, because the headline here says thousands of witches. And I don't know if the witches had to sign in, if they're on the witch registry, how do you even keep up with the number of witches out there to know how many are going to be. And the thing is, too, if thousands tell you you'll be there, you can probably cut that number in half, right? I mean, people got stuff, witches got stuff come up, shopping to do. They're probably waiting around on the gas pump that they prepaid for. They may not all be there for it, but they said, once again, it's October 25th. It doesn't give us the significance of the 25th. You thought, you know, one like me, I would think it would be like on Halloween. But they said, yeah, this is a thing. So witches against President Trump on October 25th. Thousands, further in the story, they say thousands upon thousands of witches will be enlisting demons of the infernal realms to help in their war against Donald Trump. So there you go. I just want to let you know that these are things that are happening out there. I mean, do they do an online thing, or do they do individual? Like, can you witchcraft in your home? Hey, by the way, congratulations, Bob Campbell in Saraland. You want a pair of tickets to go check out the Marshall Tucker Band happening at the Greater Gulf State Fair. We'll have more details when we get back right here on Midday Mobile. Thousands upon thousands.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Hey, those of you on the text line clamoring for your Marshall Tucker tickets, not to worry. More chances coming up this week. That show, it's going to be Sunday out at the grounds, of course, the Greater Gulf State Fair going on at the grounds. Back in the olden days, we used to call it the Greater Gulf State Fairgrounds, but now, cool kids call it the grounds. And what I love the facility. And the Marshall Tucker Band will be there on Sunday. So that's going to be Sunday, October 27th, this coming Sunday. So you can win tickets. We'll do it tomorrow, and we'll do it again on Thursday. We'll give you many chances to win tickets to that show and hopefully see you out at the fair. Dalton and I are trying to figure out what night we're going to go. It's like, for us, if I make just one night, it'll be a rodeo night. Dalton and I both want to go out and watch rodeo. Dalton, have we figured out what event did you want to go to? We don't get a suggestion here. We'll get the lineup here on rodeo and see what event we want to go to. But hopefully, we'll see y'all out there. All right, for the text line here. Yeah, there's a lot of people asking for tickets. Well, you listen and win. I can just give you tickets right now through the text line. Come on, people. You know how this show thing goes. Also, good note here from Unnamed Texter. Hello, Unnamed Texter. The Wallace Tunnel just opened to one lane. It took that long to get that lumber stacked back. So this I-10 eastbound at the Wallace Tunnel, they have now opened one lane. That has been 3 or 4 hours. Dalton, did you see the text line? One of the funniest textures we have. Fred just pointed out that those thousands upon thousands of witches that may be putting this spell, at least according to this unsubstantiated story on a blog trying to pretend to be a news site, that thousands and thousands of witches were casting a spell against President Trump on October 25th. Fred suggested they are part of a hocus-pocus focus group. I'm telling you, man, come write this show for me. A lot of other things said about witches here I can't repeat. What? October 25th is the sourest day observation? I don't know what that is. Am I supposed to know what's... I don't know what that is. No idea. Sourest day. Maybe something. There'll be one of these things that everybody in the world knows about except for me. And they'll be like, oh, Sean, everybody knows about the sourest day. Hey, let's think of, speaking of souring or fermentation, I want to run through this story. We'll probably come back to this story on Friday. It's that kind of story. But from sciencealert.com, in their health department, headline, a man's gut made him extremely drunk by brewing alcohol when he ate carbs. And just listen to the words used there. And like I said on Twitter, this is the ultimate homebrew. It says it began as a simple thumb injury. Then it spiraled into a dangerous syndrome where a man's gut essentially became a brewery fermenting its own endless alcohol supply, which they say is not as fun as it sounds. In a recent case study, doctors recount strange symptoms of, this is not real, auto brewery syndrome, ABS. It says it's a real thing, but a rarely diagnosed medical condition where simply ingesting carbohydrates can be enough to make you wildly inebriated. Even worse, nobody believes you when you say you haven't been drinking. At least, that was the case of an unfortunate 46-year-old patient in question, an otherwise healthy man who had only ever been a light social drinker. His troubles began in 2011 after he completed a course of antibiotics for a thumb injury. Within 1 week of finishing the meds, he reported experiencing uncharacteristic personality changes, including depression, brain fog, aggressive behavior, and memory loss. He was eventually referred to a psychiatrist and given antidepressants. But it was only when the man was pulled over by police one morning in an apparent case of drunk driving that the true nature of the illness started to reveal itself. When pulled over, he refused to take a breathalyzer test and was hospitalized. The test showed that he had a blood alcohol level of 200 milligrams. What is DL? The equivalent, okay, I know the equivalency. Equivalent to having drunk approximately 10 alcoholic drinks and sufficient to induce confusion, disorientation, impaired balance, and slurred speech. The hospital personnel and police refused to believe him when he repeatedly denied alcohol ingestion. After being discharged from the hospital, he sought treatment at a clinic in Ohio, and in medical test, most of his readings looked normal. But his stool samples showed the presence, and they list the fungus known as brewer's yeast. So he had that in his system. They said it has a long history in beer brewing and winemaking, this brewer's yeast. They said while the patient was successfully treated at the clinic, his ABS diagnosis revealed itself in subsequent flare-ups, with the most serious incident involving a fall while inebriated that resulted in intracranial bleeding. Yikes. While at the hospital, his blood alcohol spiked to twice the concentration recorded when he was pulled over, but still the medical staff refused to believe he did not drink alcohol, despite the fact he was there in the hospital and in the bed. They finally, working on this, and by the way, it was a doctor, Fahad Malik, now chief medical resident at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB, what's up, Blazers, that figured out that this man had the auto-brewing fungus had colonized in the man's insides, and researchers said that he was brewing his own beer, basically, in his stomach and becoming drunk from it. He would eat carbs. Those carbs would interact with the yeast and become alcohol. Go check the story out on our Twitter feed, and we'll see y'all in the morning for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Drink up.